Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, March 22nd, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. Hope you're doing well today. Come on in, hang out with us for a few minutes. We're just talking about March Madness today. Don't you love March Madness basketball? It's a fun time of year, exciting if you're a basketball fan. Just kind of the craziness of the tournament and teams winning and Cinderella teams beating high-ranked teams, and you just never know. It's one and done, and trying to advance from the field of 68, used to be 64. Now they allow 68 up to that most years, and then you whittle all the way down, and each round you win or you go home. And sometimes, you know, you go home and sometimes you win, and that Cinderella comes through and punches their ticket and wins the national championship or makes it to the Final Four, just whatever. But it's so fun to watch. And if you've never checked it out, check it out. Trust me, it's worth it. And I doubt there's many people that don't know what March Madness is. But great time of year, one of my favorites. Not only that, but it's springtime. Things are starting to bloom. People are working in the yard. You know, Janet and I went to Home Depot the other day, and man, it's crazy. It is so amazing how crowded those parking lots and nurseries and Home Depot and Lowe's, all the home improvement shops out there. It's just amazing how crowded they are because people are, man, they're excited. Life is springing to action. And, you know, matter of fact, just yesterday, the 20th, 2 days ago, was the first day of spring. So here we go. New beginnings, March Madness. You know, embrace it. Enjoy today because you never know, y'all. It can be gone today, whether it's your job, your life, your health, anything in particular. It can all be gone. So seize the day. Enjoy it today. And so glad you're with us today listening and hanging out. We're going to have some fun talking about March Madness, some quirky stories and some different stories just came upon in the last couple of weeks, and just how we can have a fresh perspective and a beginning of life and that new exciting attitude during our own March Madness. And that doesn't just have to be in March, by the way. It can be just the madness of life anytime. But we're going to talk about that today. Hope it's encouraging. Hope you're doing well, and sit back, relax, and we're going to be back here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Back in on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. Thanks again for being a part of it. Just each and every week get to come in here and hang out with you guys and hopefully encourage, hopefully laugh a little bit and think a little bit and cry a little bit. And we're going to talk about where that idea came from here in just a little bit. But we're talking about March Madness today. And, you know, not just March Madness, but the madness of life. And, you know, if you've listened to anything I've ever said or heard this show before, it's to me, it's all about encouragement. And I'm not perfect at it. But, you know, I just think it's our job as human beings, as believers, just to come alongside and encourage people. You know, there's enough heaviness going on in the world. There's enough angst. There's enough divide. Anybody can do that. You know, why can't we be peacemakers? Why can't we come along and be encouragers? And kind of the verse that I came across this week that encouraged me was Proverbs 12:18. And it says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And it just, you know, kind of hit me like, hey, in this madness of life, I know we're going to talk a little bit about March Madness today, but, you know, in the madness of life, you know, isn't it nice just to be encouraged? Don't you like when somebody comes alongside you and just instead of being judgmental or divisive or whatever, they're just encouraging and you just feel good being around them. I sure like being around people like that. So going to share some instances today throughout the show of just how people use their attitude and their perspective, and they may have never known about it, and most of them didn't. And I think that's the encouragement to us, is just do the right thing, be an encouragement. You're probably not going to know who you impacted, and that's okay. It's not about the credit. It's not, what was that, George Costanza in one of the Seinfeld episodes? He was so worried about getting credit for the meal. He just wanted to make sure that everybody knew that he got it. So I digress there. But, you know, it's just, what are you doing with what you got? Are you being an encouragement? I know I try to be. I'm not perfect at it. But, you know, I think that's what we're supposed to be as believers. We're supposed to be the difference makers. We're supposed to be the salt and the light, and people are supposed to see something different. So when the madness hits, you know, where do you go? What do you do? I did a Google search on March Madness, and it was one of those things that I just, you know, I've always heard the name, but it was very interesting. It was a term that was actually used, invented in 1939. So we're coming up on, you know, what is that, 87 years, I guess it's been. And Henry Porter, he was a high school coach and administrator. He first used that term to describe just the chaotic, frenetic pace of the local basketball in Illinois. And his quote was, it was, quote, passion spilling over in local basketball. And so I never knew that. And I thought that was pretty cool. I think it's fun to always learn something new every day. But in the 80s, 1980s, that is, you know, I know some of the younger people listening out there looking like, you were born in the 1900s. My niece, Kelly, thank you. She told me that a few weeks ago. Weren't you born in the 1900s? I said, yeah. I think that wasn't a cool thing. But anyway, in the 1980s, Brent Musburger, a lot of you sports fans know him. He popularized the March Madness term when the NCAA college basketball tournament was really getting popular in the early 80s. He threw it out there and it stuck. And it's just always been called that because it is crazy, frenetic pace, and it is just high energy. And, you know, you got high-ranked teams losing to low-ranked teams, and it's one and done, and you lose, and you go home, and you win, and you keep advancing. And as fans, as players, as just, you know, Americans, it's just something fun that we've ingrained into our culture, and we've made it a part of what March and March Madness is all about. And so it's a fun thing when it's sports, but Madness – you know, hey, when it's in your life, it can be kind of distracting. It can be overwhelming at times. But I choose to look at it in a different way. I choose to go, hey, we watch basketball in this chaotic, just crazy, fast pace. And yeah, there's winners and yeah, there's losers. But what if we looked at our life a little bit like more like that and not take it so seriously, but just, man, it's a game and we just got to win. And you know what? We're going to lose some. We're going to win some. But we're going to have fun either way along the way. So, you know, maybe with whatever mountains you're facing, with whatever number one seed you may be about to play, and you may be a 16 seed, and you may go, hey, there's no chance there. I should even do this or even play this game like they do in basketball. But you never know. You show up, you do the right things, and it just may be the day that your name and your number gets called, and you could win that thing. So just be encouraged. Enjoy the madness. Enjoy, you know, everything that we've got going on is such a blessing. I know there's hard times out there, y'all. People are hurting. People are scared. People are wounded. People are everything in between. But you know what? There's a Savior in heaven that loves you, and all He wants is a relationship with you. And if you just give it to Him, y'all, man, He will bless you. He will take care of you, and He will just make it. I can't explain it. He will make it right, and you'll know it's Him, and that's what it's all about, is giving Him the glory. Because if it was up to me, if it was up to you, y'all, we'd be miserable failures every single time. But the Lord blesses us, and He's got us, and all He wants is you. So give it to Him today. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just talk to Him. Just say, God, are you real? Show me who you are. Are you for real? And step back and watch and see what happens. He's going to blow your mind in ways you never dreamed possible. Y'all enjoy the madness. Going to come back and talk about somebody in very important American history. Had a lot to do with the social fabric and you sit back, relax. We're going to talk about this guy on the other side. It's a pretty cool story. And just keep your attitude right. Remember, your words mean a lot. Y'all, I ran across this story the other day, and I just thought it was interesting to share, and just, you know, about perspective and about where you are in life, and is God really using me, and is what I'm doing matter? If I go do this or say that or whatever, is it really making a difference? And I don't really matter, but I want you to hear this. This was a pretty interesting story I came across. It says, he was not an amateur. Before the war, John Pemberton was one of the most respected pharmacists and chemists in Georgia. His laboratory in Columbus was considered state of the art. He created perfumes, medicines, and remedies distributed across the South. He married Anne, he built a life worth having, and then came the war. Pemberton served as a Confederate officer. In April of 1865, the final weeks of fighting, he was slashed by a cavalry saber at the Battle of Columbus. The wound nearly killed him. The morphine that saved him did not let go. He came home an addict. So did tens of thousands of other veterans. They called it soldier's disease. but Pemberton had an advantage most of them didn't. He understood chemistry, and he was determined to find a way out. By 1869, he had rebuilt his lab in Atlanta. His mission was personal and urgent: find a substitute for morphine for himself, for the veterans suffering around him. He turned to coca leaves for the centuries used across South America as natural stimulants and pain relievers. He combined them with wine and cola nut extract and created Pemberton's French Wine Coca. It spread across the Southeast. It was popular. It was working at least well enough to build a business. The tragic irony he may never have fully understood: he was fighting one addiction with another. The cocaine in the coca leaves was simply more socially acceptable than the morphine. Then Atlanta banned alcohol in 1886. His business was illegal overnight. At 55 years old, with his health already beginning to fail, Pemberton had to start over. He set up an industrial mixing apparatus at his home on Marietta Street. He worked through the nights. He removed the wine. He replaced it with sugar syrup. He added citric acid to cut the sweetness, balanced the coca and cola extracts, and kept adjusting until something tasted right. On May 8, 1886, he carried a jug of dark brown syrup down the street to Jacob's Pharmacy on Peachtree Street. A pharmacy clerk mixed it with carbonated water instead of plain water by accident. Customers loved it. His bookkeeper, Frank Robinson, suggested the name Coca-Cola. The two C's, he said, would look well in advertising. Robinson hand-lettered the flowing script logo in the style still used today. Pemberton believed in what he had made. He told associates his formula, quote, "someday will be a national drink," unquote. The first year averaged 9 glasses a day. He never saw what came next. Within a year of that first pour at Jacob's Pharmacy, Pemberton's health was in serious collapse. The stomach cancer was advancing. The morphine addiction was worsening as the pain intensified. Medical bills were mounting faster than 9 glasses a day could pay. He began selling pieces of the company, first a third to investor, then more. The deals were made by a dying man who was often too ill to negotiate clearly. He tried to hold back a portion for his son, Charles, hoping the boy might one day profit from what his father had built. Charles needed money immediately. He sold his portion, too. By the time Asa Candler, a sharp Atlanta pharmacist who recognized what Pemberton had consolidated full ownership, the total paid for all rights to the Coca-Cola formula was $2,300. Pemberton never himself even received the final $300. He died before that last transaction closed. That payment went to his son. On August 16, 1888, John Pemberton died of stomach cancer in Atlanta. He was 57 years old, still poor, still fighting the addiction that had started everything. The newspapers called him the most noted physician Atlanta ever had. Asa Candler, the man about to become very wealthy from Pemberton's recipe, publicly praised his lovable nature and many virtues. His gravestone in Columbus carries the symbols of his life: Confederate soldier, Freemason. There is no mention of Coca-Cola. The family destruction continued. Charles Pemberton died of opium addiction 6 years after his father. He was 34 years old. Pemberton's wife, Anne, lived out her remaining years without a single dollar from the empire her husband had created. She died a pauper in 1909. Asa Candler incorporated the Coca-Cola Company in 1892. By 1895, it was selling in every American state. In 1919, the Candler family sold the company for $25 million. The Pemberton family received none of it. Today, Coca-Cola is sold in virtually every country on earth. The company is worth over $250 billion. Over 2.2 billion servings are consumed every single day. All of it traces back to a wounded veteran mixing compounds in an Atlanta kitchen, trying to cure the pain that a saber wound had left behind and never finding that cure. If you have ever worked towards something desperately, given everything you had, and watched something, someone, or something else collect what you built, you already know something about what Pemberton's life or story feels like. He didn't fail. He invented one of the most consumed products in human history. He just ran out of time. 9 glasses a day in 1886, $2 billion today. And somewhere in Columbus, Georgia, beneath a gravestone that doesn't mention his greatest creation, the man who started all of it is still waiting for the world to say his name. That's an amazing story, y'all. I had to share it. I just thought, hey, you don't always, life's not always fair, and you just never know what's going to happen. But someday, the idea that you had, the creation you made, it could have a lasting impact, and you may never know. $2,300 John Pemberton received for Coca-Cola, and today it's worth billions. Think on that. We'll be back in just a minute on Sunday morning. Had a good reminder the other day. You just never know who you're going to meet. I'm so blessed to do what I do. I'm in sales, and you know, I tell people all the time, I never left the seventh grade, and they say, "What do you mean?" I said, "I take field trips every day, and I get to do show and tell every day." I mean, it's a fun job. I really enjoy. I just enjoy people. I enjoy being around them, and I enjoy seeing what makes people tick. And I learned a long time ago, you know, we've all always heard it, you never judge a book by its cover, because you just don't know who somebody is. You don't know what they're going through. And you never know where they're going either. And I read this the other day. I wanted to share it. It says this. It says, he never drove a luxury car, never took lavish vacations. He never chased attention. Dale Schroeder worked as a carpenter in Iowa for 67 years at the same company. He grew up poor during the Great Depression. College was never an option for him. Life was about work, not dreams. He lived in a modest house, owned two pairs of jeans, one for work, one for church. No wife, no children, no visible ambition beyond showing up every day and doing his job. When he died in 2005 at the age of 86, people assumed there would be little left behind. They were wrong. He had quietly saved nearly $3 million, but he did not leave it to distant relatives. He did not fund a building with his name carved in stone. He created a scholarship fund. 33 students from his community went to college because of him. Many studied medicine, education, therapy, and other service professions. Every one of them graduated debt-free. The final student completed college in 2019. Most people measure success by lifestyle. He measured it by opportunity. He never had the chance to attend college, so he built that chance for others. No headlines while he lived, no viral speeches, just decades of quiet discipline. Sometimes the richest person in the room is the one wearing work boots and saying nothing. Dale Schroeder. Man, what a guy. You know, I mean, that blew my mind. Like, how many people do you see walking down the street that you know, we can say what you want, but we all judge people. Look at somebody and go, well, you know, who is that person? And I don't know why we treat people differently based on what their appearance is or what we think they are or who we think they are. But again, it gets back to the man, I'm not the judge. I'm not even the jury. I'm just the witness. So just love people, meet people, encourage people. I mean, be a Dale Schroeder. You don't have to publicize it. You don't have to talk about it. You can just do it and just show up every day. I love that quote in there. It says, you just showed up and he did the work. I mean, it's you know, talking to young guys in this industry that I'm in and sales and industrial markets, you know, and people go, what's the secret? Yeah, not that I know anything, but I said one thing I've learned, my grandparents and my parents used to say this, still do, but it's just work. Just get to work. It's no substitute for showing up and just taking care of business. And that's just a discipline that Dale Schroeder had. And that's my encouragement to you, is just keep showing up and just keep doing the right thing. Put your work boots on and just keep showing up. Because it's easy to sit around and do nothing and complain. And most of the time, the people sitting around complaining are the ones that are just sitting around and they got nothing else to do other than complain. But if there's an issue, if there's a problem, step up, solve it. Do the right thing, but just show up. You know, I think that's half the battle in life. It's just, man, some days you don't feel like it. I know there's days I don't feel like it, but you just got to get up and you just got to keep moving and you got to keep going. And it's consistency, right? And that compounding interest, so to speak, over time, it's just what makes you who you are. And I had this conversation with my son, Sam, not long ago about just understanding everything. And, hey, I want to know it all. And I said, son, it's okay to not know it all. I don't know it all. And you're never going to know it all. Because once you think you've arrived, once you think you know that you know it all, you're going to get a left hook out of nowhere. Life's just going to do that to you. So be encouraged today. Keep showing up. Be a Dale Schroeder, man. Give it, look about what an impact he had on so many young people that got to go to college because he kept showing up every day. In our world today, is that fair to Dale Schroeder? No, but Dale Schroeder didn't give a rip about that. He wanted to impact people. He wanted to be an encouragement, and he wanted total strangers to go further than he ever dreamed about going. So be a Dale Schroeder today. Make that choice and go impact somebody. Thanks for being a part on Sunday morning. We're going to be back here on the other side of a cup of coffee. What are you doing with those opportunities in life? What is your attitude? What is your, as we read that scripture earlier in Proverbs about just the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Are you throwing swords? Or are you bringing healing? What drives you? What's your heart of hearts? I hope you're an encourager. I hope you're bringing healing to other people. Saw this the other day. It was a young man that I read a story about. Ben West was his name, and it was interesting. And I just thought we could all take something from this perspective of Ben West. It says Ben West never set out to create something viral. He simply wanted to honor his brother and make sure that someone out there didn't feel as alone as his family once did. After losing his brother Sam to suicide 8 years ago, Ben spent 2 quiet years building a project centered around one powerful idea: strangers writing letters of hope to strangers who are struggling. That idea became Reasons to Stay, a platform built on compassion and simple human connection. When someone visits the site, they receive a random letter written by a person somewhere in the world who chose to show kindness to someone they will never meet. In just 1 week, more than 10,000 letters from over 100 countries were shared and read by more than 160,000 people. The messages rarely focused on success or achievements. Instead, they remind readers of love, worth, and belonging. Reasons to Stay does not try to fix people or offer advice. It simply shows up with empathy, and sometimes that quiet reminder that someone cares is enough to help someone make it through the moment. Man, could you imagine? What a powerful story that is. I mean, just here you've lost a loved one to suicide, and you come up and you could sit and be that victim and go, wow, poor me. And I'm sure there's those moments, right? We all have them. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's just human nature. That's just a natural reaction. But when you realize that this tragedy, this opportunity that God's put in my life, when you realize that first off, it is an opportunity. It's not a problem. We can look at it as a problem. We can justify it as a problem. But when you really begin to look at life and go, this is an opportunity that God's using for me to get better. I don't understand it, Lord, but just please show me. And it sounds like Ben West had one of those moments where he just, man, it's something bigger than himself. Through all that heartache, through all that pain, through that tragic loss of his brother, he said there's something bigger. And there's something I can do to use my brother's name and his remembrance to impact the world. And here he's impacted over, 160,000 people that have just received the letters. 10,000 letters, 100 different countries, with people that were dealing with the exact same issue or close to it that his brother was. Johan, it just speaks to what we talk about each and every week on this show. It's like, man, people are hurting. People are scared. People are questioning. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. And just your encouragement, one letter, one smile, one handshake, one, hey, man, how you doing? A hug, whatever it may be, a meal. You could be the difference in truly saving someone's life, as the story illustrates. And we talk about this week in and week out. There's enough junk out there, y'all. There's enough angst. There's enough divide. There's enough reasons that I could find on the internet to argue with every single person in my life. We don't need that. That's easy to do. What we need is to be difference makers. What we need is to be pouring into each other. And I'm not saying I have all the answers, and I'm not saying I'm 100% right, but I know when I see people encouraging other people, y'all, I've been walking this planet now for 52 years. And I know when I see people encouraging one another, man, it's a blessing. And nothing but good things come out of it. But I think it's also about perspective too, right? I mean, we've got to have that perspective. And we've got to have that reason to show up. I mentioned that there, right there in Ben's story. And we talked about that in the last segment with Dale Schroeder. He just shows up. These guys just keep showing up. And the same thing with John Pemberton earlier in the Coca-Cola story, right? He didn't see the glory of his actions, but he kept showing up. Dale Schroeder kept showing up, saved all that money to send all those strangers' kids to college that he never even knew or never even met. And now this Ben West gentleman, he just kept showing up. God called him and said, hey, I want you to do this, and he did it. And look at the lives he's impacted. So what's he calling you to do today? I don't know. Only you can answer that question. I was sharing with a friend of mine this week. I had an old country preacher up in Tennessee, Tom McCoy was his name, and he said, God gave you a knower for a reason. And he said, when you know in your knower what you're supposed to do, you'll know. And I, you know, you can't really explain that, but you get it when you get it. So what's God laid on your heart today? Where are you supposed to be? Who are you supposed to be impacting? Pray about that. God will lead you to somebody. And just reach out and encourage somebody today. I hope you will, because it sure makes life a whole lot more fun. And, you know, like we talk about, I can't do anything about the whole world. All I can do is what is in my world. And that's one conversation at a time. And it starts with you and it starts with me. So let's get started. Happy Sunday, everybody. We're going to be back here on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. Shaw Gage hanging out with you. Just what an honor it is to be each and every week sitting here with you and just being encouragement. That's my goal. Again, I don't know it all. I'm not a preacher. I'm not anybody other than just a guy saying, hey, man, here's where I'm trying to get better in life, and I think the Lord's trying to show me this. So hopefully it's an encouragement to you, and you'll come on back again next week. But talking about March Madness, talking about madness of life today, and shared some stories just about people in life and going through their own madness of sorts, and just, you know, what was their perspective? What was their attitude? And, you know, I learned a long time ago, there's nothing I can do about anything in life that comes at me. There's only one thing that I control, and that's my reaction. That's my heartitude. That's the attitude of my heart. And if I'm all selfish and stoved up, man, I'm going to be in a bitter, angry, just not fun to be around old man. But y'all, when I'm letting it go and I'm trying to serve others and I'm prayed up and I'm reading the Bible and I'm just, man, when I'm in one with God, life just gets easier, you know, and I can have that peace and I'm fun to be around. And look, I mess it up every day. I'm not perfect, but you know, I think it's just, again, when you keep that perspective of, man, there's only one thing I control, and that's the attitude of my heart. And it's true. There's nothing I can do about, you know, somebody driving down the road in traffic, or a coworker, or a customer, or a family member, or a neighbor, or a name it, you know, an employee at the local hardware store. There's nothing I can do about those people and how they treat me. But I dang sure can control how I treat other people. And those stories we've talked about today, that's been the, you know, the thing is what were they doing? What was their perspective? You know? I think it's just, again, we as believers, we have to be encouragers. We have to get out there and lift each other up, because, man, it's hard times. There's good times. And I just, you know, we talked about this last week with Bubba on the show, and I was so thankful to have Bubba Bussey in with us. But, you know, just talking about, man, I just feel like right now in this season of life, there are so many men in my life that are just, man, just starting to go, wow, what's this is all about? What is life? What are we doing? I mean, you know, we're getting our... You know, I'm in my early 50s now, and it's like, where are we going? I mean, we're that generation is starting to, we're my generation, we're about to be in control, and y'all ought to all be scared, because we are a dangerous generation, as we talked about last week. But, you know, we're that last generation that really knew the greatest generation, and that's the World War II veterans, my grandparents, yeah, on both sides. I mean, that was just, they were the greatest generation, but they had that selfless attitude, and we know it because we saw it as their grandchildren. But I think we let a lot of that go. And I look around at the world today and go, how can we be more like them? How can we be more selfless? How can we be like the Dale Schroeders that we talked about earlier in life? It's not about me, man. I'm just going to show up every day, do my job, and man, the bank account will take care of the bank account. And then he never lived a lavish lifestyle. He just, man, he wanted to encourage and impact others. And boy, did he, you know? So what are we doing? You know, where are we going in our March Madness, so to speak? I know that's kind of a wild way to be remembered about March Madness, is just the madness in our own lives and what our perspective is. But I just, you know, I just love this time of year. And I'm reminded, you know, there was a coach at North Carolina State, Jim Valvano, and you probably heard his story. If you haven't, Google it, check it out. But Jimmy V, as they affectionately refer to him now, he was the basketball coach at North Carolina State, won a national championship over Houston, and man, just what an incredible story. And later in life, Jim Valvano was diagnosed with cancer. And I encourage you to Google his speech, because if you've never heard it, you need to stop what you're doing and go hear it right now. Jim Valvano, V-A-L-V-A-N-O. And he was the head basketball coach at North Carolina State. And he was dying. He was literally weeks away from dying, and he was at the first ESPY Awards, which is the ESPN. I guess everybody has an award show anymore, but Jimmy V showed up, and he talked about it during the speech, but how he really was almost couldn't make it to the stage that night because he was so weak and so sick. But he knew that he had to give that speech because he knew that I was going to be sitting here and people like me were going to be sitting here, you know, years and years later talking about the impact that it had on him. But it was just that same perspective of, man, there's nothing I can do about this cancer, but it's not going to take me. It's not going to take my mind. It's not. Go watch it. And the most powerful and lasting impact that his speech had on me is he said, there's three things people should do every day. You should laugh every day, you should cry every day, and you should think every day. And I may have gotten those out of order, but that's, you know, his point was, if you do all three of those every day, you'll live a full life. I mean, think about that. You laugh every day, that's a fun emotion. You cry every day, well, that's a powerful emotion. It's sad. It could be tears of joy too, I guess, but that's another powerful emotion. And then you think every day, man, you are living a full life. So shout out to Jimmy V as we're in March Madness, and I know it was his favorite time of year, but if you're struggling with anything, or if you've seen that video before, go watch it again today and just be a fresh perspective and a fresh reminder of what it's all about, because y'all, it can be gone in a heartbeat. And then what's next? So Jim Valvano, Google that search, and just, you know, in honor of March Madness, I'm going to do it again this afternoon just because I'm telling you to do it. And it is a good one. So check it out and just be refreshed in what he's saying, what his attitude or his heartitude is there at the waning moments of his life. And man, it'll bring a tear to your eye, but it's definitely worth a watch. Be back here in just a minute on Sunday morning. So March Madness, what you going to do with it? What's your March Madness? What is your madness in life? And it doesn't mean like angry mad, but just the madness, the chaotic, frenetic pace, as we talked about back in the first segment. And when that term was developed way back in 1839, what was the intent? What was the descriptor? It was just that Henry Porter said it's passion spilling over. And y'all, that's madness in life. I mean, we can have passion spilling over in life and just that frenetic pace. I read that somewhere, the craziness, all those different things. There is madness in life. And it's not always fun in games like basketball, like March Madness, which, by the way, my bracket is busted. So don't look to me for advice on who's going to win. But nonetheless, you know, what is your madness? And what are you going to do with that madness? You know, anybody can react fine and be good when times are good and there's no trouble. But what are you going to do when life happens and when, you know, there's an issue and you don't really know where to go or what to do? Again, all you control, all I control is my reaction to what happens in life. And that's a shout out to Sam and Mary Glenn Peoples, just friends of the family, impacted so many people in the Birmingham area, just as godly people and Christian counselors. But that was, they would always say, the circumstances of life is not what makes or break you. It just simply reveals what's in your heart. And y'all, that's so true. It's, you know, it just, that, you know, when you're tested, when chaos hits, when panic hits, when uncertainty, emergency, all those hard things in life hit, it reveals who you are. And look, nobody's perfect. Nobody's got it all together. But man, when you have Jesus in your heart and you have that selfless attitude and you realize, okay, look, I don't want bad things to happen. I don't want it to happen to anybody, but I know that I try to look at them now as opportunities. I try to look at those now and go, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me? And I think when we do that, and we keep it about that selflessness, because if I can sit there and turn stuff inward and make it about me and a victim, man, I'm really good at that. And I can really justify that and sell you on why it's everybody else's fault and not mine. But at the end of the day, what good does that do in the grand scheme of things? Okay, so I convinced myself and I convinced you, but it's not really true. So how can I use this to impact other people for the good? How can I use this to impact people that may be about to go through the same thing or that are just starting to walk through the same thing or have been through it 10 years before I was, but now it's bringing up old things? So just wherever you are, whatever your madness is, man, just be positive. Try to encourage others and just trust in the Lord. And you know what? He will make your path straight. It's not necessarily a fun straight. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be clear. But when you trust in the Lord, man, He is your light. He is your guide, and He will take you where you need to be. But just trust Him with that today. So, you know, enjoy the basketball. Enjoy the March Madness. I hope your bracket is going better than mine. But when it comes to life madness, think about those stories we talked about this morning. You know, we talked about John Pemberton and Coca-Cola, man. He was down. He was a morphine addict, and he was like, I got to pull out of this. And he invented Coca-Cola, and it worked. But, you know, he never saw a dime from it. But you know what? It got him off of morphine. So, like, I mean, that was a good thing for him. But then so-and-so bought it and made billions of dollars. This one, you know, how much is it worth now? So he came up with Coca-Cola out of his darkness. Then we talked about Dale Schroeder and just, you know, a guy that just showed up every day, put his work boots on, had two pairs of jeans, one for work, one for church. And nobody thought he had much. But when he died in his 80s, he left millions of dollars for kids and trust funds to go to college that he never even knew. So, I mean, look at that impact that he had. And then the Ben West story, lost his brother to suicide and started a ministry or an organization that was about just people writing letters and just being encouragements to total strangers. And it's impacted hundreds of thousands of people. And so, and Jim Valvano, we talked about him there kind of in the last segment, just about, you know, his words and his speech. By the way, go watch that. I can't say that enough. Just Google it, Jim Valvano, and go watch that life-respecting change of what it's like to be on death's door. And, you know, we're all going to be there. Death's undefeated. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he said that, you know, death is undefeated. And I said, you're right, except for one. You know, Jesus conquered death. But, hey, but in the grand scheme of things, he's right. And, you know, we're all going to have that moment. And just where are you going to be and what's your attitude going to be? So what do all those have in common? It's just all about the perspective and the madness. And I hope that you have him and that you know that Jesus loves you, because in the madness, in the good and the bad, but in the madness, he loves you and he's got everything you need to get through it. So hope that's an encouragement to you this week. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And I hope the Lord blesses you. And I just hope you trust him with just a little bit more as you go throughout your week. Keep on keeping on, everybody. We'll see you back here next week. Hopefully going to have another guest in studio. Those are always fun. And I know you probably get tired of hearing me talk, but we're going to probably have another guest in next week talking about some really, really cool stuff. So God bless everybody. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning next week.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.